Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Does every city in our area need tourists, need visitors all the time? I think we've gotten carried away a little bit with this idea that we all need these visitors. Some of you just stay out of these cities. You don't need the visitors. Everybody's not a tourist destination. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. There's certain cities in this community that are fun to go to on the weekend, right? Excelsior. Where do you like to go when you think of Minnesota cities where you want to go for like a day trip? 651-461-9226. Tell me your favorite. Like, I love Stillwater. Love to go to Stillwater. Excelsior, very good. Wayzata. All these cities want you to come there on a Tuesday. And I am sick of being expected to have to go to all of these cities. Some of you are for the weekend. It's all right. Isn't that enough? Turns out it's not. Some of this, I think, is a logical result of what has happened in the move away from our cities. I actually think researchers are going to study this someday. But the fact that we went from everybody coming downtown to work, not everybody, but every white-collar worker coming downtown to work, the fact that we just like flipped a light switch and went to remote or hybrid work has been the most disruptive change to our state probably, I mean, is it overdramatic to say since the interstate highway? I don't think it's that dramatic. The disruption has been intense. It's just so different now, right? And even when you come to work, if you come 3 days or you come, you know, 2 days this week, 3 days the next, whatever, people aren't sticking around. And part of the reason is that all of the cute little suburbs have their own cute little restaurants and their cute little downtowns, and you get cute all over the place. So today when the Star Tribune publishes a story, the future of the Twin Cities destination suburbs may depend on Tuesdays. Does anybody want to go to Excelsior on Tuesday? Why? Now, the challenge is if you're a restaurant or a coffee shop and it's hard to make a business where you just make your money on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? So they need, or at least, I don't know, it used to be fine. It seemed like there used to be businesses that functioned just fine. Waterfront communities popular for day trips are finding new ways to bring people downtown beyond summer weekend. So on the one hand, you have these suburbs, your Stillwaters, your Excelsiors, your Wayzatas, your Waconias that are trying to get, they're trying to get people to come during the week. And part of the reason that I am frustrated with this is that it doesn't make sense for the wider community. There are times, look, does it make sense for Excelsior? Yes. Excelsior has like two blocks on Water Street. It's really nice. It's really cute. They have some good restaurants. And what Excelsior wants is developers to put co-working spaces so people will come and work and then they'll like go to lunch. And I get it. Like that would be good for all those restaurants. But I don't think it's good for Minnesota to have a million little hubs of work all over the place. And then across the street from us, we've got a 25-story skyscraper that's totally empty. Am I just fighting a losing battle here? Is downtown just done? And we are going to build little suburban, like little downtowns everywhere. And Excelsior, which already is cute on the weekend, now thinks they get to be cute every day. Part of the deal of living in a vacation style community is that you have a nice place to live. People do want to come and visit you on the weekend. But like, can we have something still in the city? Could we keep downtown maybe? Everybody doesn't need to be a tourist destination. And I think what White Bear Lake has been doing has been sort of intriguing. In White Bear Lake, they never really were a tourist thing because the lake isn't super accessible for regular folks, and there aren't a lot of businesses or anything on the lake. So what White Bear Lake, it just is like it's for the community. It's for the city. So if you live in White Bear Lake, you come downtown, you go to the restaurants, you shop, whatever, but that's it. Tourism is not part of the equation. They got a pharmacy, they got a dentist, they have a library. They do have a co-working space. But like, that's it. Chris is in Medina. Chris is...
Hey, Jason.
Do you need me to come out there on Tuesday night too? Like every suburb wants me coming. They want us coming all of the days. I don't know. What do you blame?
Stay in Maple Grove. No, I think what's happened is this is the economy, right? And the hub cities, through poor practices, bad economics by the student council, what they've done is they've created this void in the little cities, the little beaches, all that. They see the opportunity. That's how the economy works. As long as downtown Minneapolis has a void because it's, quite frankly, it's hard for businesses. They have anti-business practices. They're not going to win that dollar. And these small cities are seeing a great opportunity to win that dollar.
It's interesting. I don't disagree with you at all. I do think right now, if you had the ability to locate your business in White Bear Lake or in Excelsior versus locating it right in the middle of downtown, I'd probably put it wherever is closer to my house. You know, as the business owner, you'd want it because there is such an anti-business attitude from the city council, specifically in Minneapolis.
Absolutely. I'd put it in Uptown Hamel, baby.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with Hamel. Nothing wrong with Hamel. Very good. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. It is opportunity. Chris is right. The suburbs are seeing the opportunity. Texter's saying, depends on the suburb, right? Woodbury is a nice place to live, but who in their right mind is visiting Woodbury on a Tuesday? Another texter says, think about it. The majority of working professionals now have two working parents and kids. There's no time to battle traffic and parking, etc. I wonder this, though. Do you guys think, so say like downtown Minneapolis probably has what, 60, back in its heyday, would have 60,000 or so people coming down here to work. You could redistribute all those jobs, right? It's just offices. There's nothing particular about where you have these offices stacked up that matters. If you took all those jobs and redistributed them all into suburbia, all around the area, isn't that a major L for the overall community? Isn't that a major loss? Like, yes, individually for you, it's maybe closer to your home or it's easier to commute to. But at a certain point, like, have we just decided we don't give a crap about anything but ourselves? We just care about our own situation? Isn't there a bigger picture? And the bigger picture to me is that you do need a strong downtown hub for the central city. Although maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe you... I mean, the only people that get hosed in this transaction are people who do live in the city, who are going to have to figure out how to pay for city stuff. How do you pay for it if you don't have any of this business? I don't know. Texter says downtown is not attractive. It's a concrete canyon. Downtown is not inviting. Skyways are great, more likable than the skywalk. except they close too early. No place anywhere to go to the bathroom. Yeah, like downtown could be more. I wish there were more plants and more greenery and more of that. But like, I don't think that's what's keeping people out of here. I don't think that's the issue. Oh, I wish there were more bathrooms. I don't think that's it. Let's break. Texter says, it's not my job to prop up downtown. I get it. But when everyone in Minnesota has decided it's not my job to do anything but to stick up for yourself, what is community? What is the point? And I understand, like, it's me first. Welcome to America. It's me first. Me. But I just think this attitude is not helpful for the overall community. It just isn't. And maybe we don't care. Maybe that's sort of where we're at. Let's break in a minute. I do want to weigh in on the president intervening, calling FIFA, asking for the American superstars' red card suspension to be reviewed. We'll talk about that. Where are you on that? 651-461-9226. Drive Time, back in a minute.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Should Donald Trump have called the head of FIFA? Should Donald Trump have called the head of FIFA and tried to get the red card heard around the world, get that suspension revoked? That question, which came in at 651-461-9226, is provocative, right? Because I have one reaction to this that is unequivocal. And that is, I'm glad that our team will be at full strength tonight. I am cheering for the United States of America. The fact that FIFA overruled their, you know, they have a committee, they have a process. The fact that they revoked the suspension, I think, is unquestionably great. And this is the player, Flo Balogun. He has been the top scorer for the United States. Now, when the president today talked about this, he sort of downplayed what he did. But The Guardian is reporting that the president made three calls to FIFA starting from Wednesday. But the president, as you know, is the recipient of the FIFA Peace Prize. And so along with that prestigious made-up award, you do get like sort of it's like a bat phone where you can get right to the head of FIFA. I am glad that Flo Balogun is going to be on the pitch tonight. I'm glad. You don't need to be a little kind of lame ethics police. Like, I don't know if I'm going to cheer for America tonight. Get over yourself. Cheer for America. Be glad that our top scorer is going to be on the pitch. Here's the president sort of uncharacteristically downplaying what he did, yet also taking credit for it.
All I did, I asked for a review because I didn't think it was a foul. And, you know, again, I'm good at this stuff. I didn't think it was a foul. Right, I thought it was two great athletes who crashed into each other and got entangled. That was not a guy punching somebody in the face or anything.
Yeah, that's what a red card is. It's got to be a punch.
And I think it's a terrible. If they wouldn't allow, you know, a top player, maybe the best, maybe among the best players on the team.
We don't know.
To play, I think it would have had a big stain.
Well, this is not a stain at all. This has worked out fine. Look, in sports, when you have a chance to appeal something, go for it. Appeal. It's the USA team. The president is like buddies with the FIFA dude. And again, if you were to say, hey, Jason, the initial question, should the president have done this? I would say,
hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Should the president have done this?
I mean, what am I like? I'm so happy with the result.
But I think you can both be happy with the result.
Like, no.
Point out the flaw in the process because there isn't a formal appeal process. That's part of the bit with the World Cup.
Right.
You don't get to appeal this. And the president, of course, you know, rules are for other people. So he's going to make a phone call.
Well, he's very,
what he can do.
As you know, he's very familiar with
clearly
the rules of soccer.
Because red cards are just when you punch a guy.
I wish the president did not do this. And yes, a texter is saying, do we know how Cristiano Ronaldo got his suspension deferred? Because all of a sudden, everyone is an unbelievable expert at the entirety of the history of World Cup red card suspension deferrals. Yes, Cristiano Ronaldo did have his suspension deferred for a year, the same thing that happened to our guy today. Ronaldo's incident happened in a World Cup qualifying match, not in actual World Cup play. So that is different and yet similar, right? Where a star player did get sort of a lifeline thrown to him.
Well, and that's just, I think that's part of what, you know.
Could this have happened anyway if the president didn't call?
Could have. FIFA has the power to make that decision if they decide to review it. The question is, would they have even bothered to review it if it hadn't been for the
probably not
phone call? And that's right. Part of, you know, again, soccer, not the national sport here in the United States. And yet we all want to jump in and have our opinion on this quote unquote controversy, largely because there's a political element to it. And we can't make anything in this country not political anymore. But the truth of the matter is, as you start reading about this sort of stuff, this kind of suspension of the suspension, the reversal of a suspension, happens in soccer in various forms. It just hasn't happened in the World Cup.
Right.
And so the fact that it happened in the World Cup makes it this huge deal.
It's a big deal. Right. Yeah. Right. Now, this is the logic that I don't understand. A texter, I cannot cheer for the U.S. after Trump stuck his filthy hand in. Is this how the Knicks won as well? Go Belgium. So I would say if you, because you hate Donald Trump so much, are going to cheer for Belgium now, you should probably pack up your house and move out of America because you are ridiculous. You are ridiculous. Now, this texter is a listener of the show. I'm going to give you a dispensation. You can stay. But anybody else, like if you listen to KFA, if you're a Barrera listener and you're now cheering for Belgium, out.
Gone.
Strap you to like a Bugs Bunny style TNT.
Sure, a little rocket.
Rocket.
Yeah.
And launch it right out of the cannon and you're gone. It's not his place to do it, nor was it any of his business, says a texter. What's next? I'm afraid to ask. I'm going to make a call to Odyssey and ask them to review your decision, too.
And then the text just ends.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
What decision
would
that
be? What decision? Maybe review their decision to hire me. Look, having flow back on the pitch is not a guarantee that we're going to win.
No, by a long shot, it's not.
And maybe we...
But it certainly improves the chances.
Yeah, I mean, for all the people who say there's going to be an asterisk now, is there?
No.
Like, I don't...
People will forget about this in 10 minutes.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. In the scheme of things, do I think having a full team out there is good for America? I do. I think it's good for the team. I think it's good for the country tonight when everyone's going to be watching this match. I think it's good because
it's very probably going to set a viewership record in the country for a soccer event.
And we can look at the specifics. People want to litigate the specifics of whether it should have been a red card. It shouldn't. I will say I do not like in soccer that a red card means an automatic suspension for the next game. I think that's unique. In sport, you don't really have an automatic suspension type offense for most
singular offenses.
Offenses.
Yeah, usually it's a
in here
litany of offenses that leads to suspension.
So I don't like this, especially since it's play-by-play. It's often like replay, VAR.
Well, I think that's
leads to these red cards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, red cards leading to suspension, that's been a thing for a long, long time. It's not like that just got invented for this
tournament. Still cannot like it.
You absolutely cannot like it, but it's been part of the sport.
But yes,
right?
It is.
What's changed is the VAR, is the video assisted replay, right? Because this wasn't ruled a red card in regular play. It was during the whistle, because it was called a foul. During the whistle, during that break, you know, the referee gets a little buzz in his ear from the video official that says, hey, go look at this again.
Right.
And then when you look at these types of plays in slow motion, they look horrific compared to regular speed play.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to hit a guy with a red card that you know obviously is going to lead to a suspension, to do that only because you're looking at the slow-mo replay that looks so much worse than it actually was in real time, that seems hinky to me. And so that's where there's room, I think, to say, to look at this and say, okay, you can't change that it was a red card, but we can change the fact that this kid was going to be suspended for the next game. FIFA has the ability to do that. It's not completely unprecedented. It just hasn't happened in a World Cup before.
If Kamala Harris were the president and she called FIFA,
it would be a completely different reaction.
I'm just saying, like, people's reaction to this is so ridiculous.
Well, it's just, it's
three phone calls. Well, but it's Trump, just like, maybe he sent out one fewer Truth Social post because he was calling FIFA guy and like, hey, come on, I'm the Peace Prize winner. Give me this.
It's like what happens with everything else in this country. It suddenly has to be coded politically. You can't just have a thing, because as long as he's attached to it, we have our silos that we've already put ourselves in politically. And so we have to react. Either it's the greatest thing ever because Trump's the greatest thing ever, or right, it's the worst thing ever because Trump's horrible.
I mean, it's mostly, I would say, it's good. Our guy's playing. USA, USA. This is not that difficult. Cheer for our team. We don't like cheating when other people cheat. When we cheat, it's called strategy. It's called outfoxing the competition. Dave Schwartz will weigh in on this in just a minute.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Schwartz is with us. Dave, I want to talk a little bit about some of the time away that you've had. But before we get into that, we were talking before the break about the World Cup, about the president. You know, we don't know how much influence he had, but he certainly tried to influence the process. I am squarely on Team USA. I blame FIFA for being corrupt. And am glad that this maybe benefited us. Like, I don't know. Can't I just cheer for my own team? Why do I have to, like, have some sort of moral opinion on whether, like, we know what Donald Trump is. Like, do I need to have a new opinion on that? Not really. And so I'm glad that, like, our guy gets to play.
I had two thoughts on this, and I was listening to your conversation as I was driving home today. And There's two things that keep sticking out to me. One is, this is the reason why in a big moment you don't use a red card, or you don't call that penalty or foul or whatever being the sport. In every sport, officials want to be in the background. They don't want to control the game. And so you don't call a game-changing penalty, foul, flag, whatever, unless it is absolutely apparent in real time that this is an infraction. And I would argue, and I've watched the play over and over, and I'm not the foremost authority on soccer. I understand if you lead with the cleat, it's an automatic red card. But you have to watch it in really slow motion from the right angle to see whether he led with the cleat before. Is it an infraction? Yes. But if you're not sure and you have to sit there and talk it over, just give him a yellow card and move on.
Yeah.
Don't give him the red card in that moment.
It's
that
sort of these replay guys, like,
yeah,
you know, and that's their job. Always, they're the VAR, but it's like, come on.
But that's what we've gotten to a point now, is trying to keep sports from having any sort of human error. And it is not possible. And if people would just accept that that's part of sports and part of the game, maybe we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. And they would have just given them a yellow card.
It's a great point.
Two, I don't know. And I don't know the inner workings of how the politics of this work. But I would venture to guess that the thing that spoke to FIFA most was not the president, but the dollar signs. This is, yes, they are technically a nonprofit, but they are in the business of making money, and they want to have the best player on the home team on the field. They want to sell tickets. They want TV ratings. It makes every bit of sense to make sure that he's on the field. So how much did the president actually convince him? I don't know. I think money did, and I think they're a smart business and said, yeah, we better have this guy on the field.
It has been a great morality play today. Like, everybody's gotten to weigh in. Everybody's suddenly an expert on Cristiano Ronaldo's suspension being deferred. Texter says, Jason, you're wrong a lot, but really off base today. so far... basically saying that I'm saying that anything to win. And you know what? It's just a game. And so, yes, if you got a corrupt parent organization or an organization that is so weak that they can be manipulated by the president of the United States, I'm not really mad that the president of the United States did something to help the USA team. I mean, do I wish he were a better human? Sure. But, like, am I really that upset that the president tried to help our team out? No. No.
This happens in all sports. I know that people are like, well, this is corrupt. It's only soccer. But how many times have you seen a guy get a penalty for hitting a quarterback that seemed almost nothing, very minimal, but he gets a huge flagrant foul? How many times could Jordan or Kobe or LeBron drive a hoop and get a fingernail on them and it's a foul? So a league protecting its star players than their best interest, this is not new to sports. It's just a more amplified stage.
Dave Schwartz is with us. The Twins finally took a series in New York against the Yankees. Should we start thinking about the parade route?
Yes, it'll go right by Yankee Stadium, and then it'll make you mean in Minneapolis?
I mean, it was nice. It was nice to see the boys pitch well, and Joe Ryan was amazing. And
Ryan was great. And Joe Ryan,
a fun little series.
It's a fun – anytime you can beat the Yankees, it's fun. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I sat in Yankee Stadium – well, twice as the Twins got run out of there in the postseason.
Turns out you can tell us, yeah.
But it seemed like it was a lot more.
Yeah. It's – I mean, I think the Twins, if I remember right, they've won like 5 out of the last 6 series they've had. It hasn't been a sweep situation.
No, but they've been stacking series victories.
But they've been stacking series victories up, which – I don't know. In a way, is this the best case situation for Twins ownership? Is this the worst case situation? Because they're not over 500, but they're in it enough where I think if you're, at least at this point, if you're like selling, you have failed the fans. Dave?
Well,
it's a bold statement by me.
You're saying if you're trying to sell it, you're that they
players. If you're selling players, well, if you're at the trade deadline, I think they have to make an effort to add,
especially after the lead owner person came out in spring training and said the goal is to play meaningful games in September, and I'm a go big or go home guy. You'll see that. So you make those two statements, and you get to a point where you're close to the trade deadline, and you're in the conversation for a playoff spot. You start selling guys off. I mean, how much credibility does the ownership have is a question with a lot of the fans, but it's gone completely if you do that.
Well, but what's he supposed to say to start the season? I mean, that's, and I agree with you. If you're going to make those statements, you should back them up. But what are you going to say? You're going to say, hey, listen, we really stink this year. I mean, don't even bother. You can't do that. Now, there's got to be middle ground between we stink and we're going for everything, right? Maybe that's the play, is that, you know, we're just going to kind of to see where it goes. I don't know. I mean, to be a seller, you got to have a really good someone to sell. And I don't know on this team, you're not going to get rid of Joe Ryan. You're not going to get rid of Byron Buxton. You look up and down the roster.
I think they could, though. I think they could. Joe Ryan could get moved. Keyshul could get moved, I think.
Like, well, I mean, Keyshul's good. Maybe. You're going to get a bag of baseballs for him at this point. Ryan Jeffers is the other one.
Jeffers
is the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. There's no giant stud on the team other than Byron, who has said he doesn't want he has a no-trade clause. So
yeah.
No.
It's just – It's a hard spot to be in. You can't win. I mean, you can't. Excuse me. When you come out and you say that at the beginning of the season, and now you're where you are. What's the argument? Do you want to play meaningful games in September? Well, they're meaningful to us because you get revenue in the door. But is that meaningful to fans when you're seven games out? Probably not.
Could you sort of play it both ways in the sense that what you desperately need on this club, obviously, is bullpen help? Offense, you know, they're one of the top offenses in the American League. So could you say, could you
take the most runs, haven't
right,
they?
You could take a Ryan Jeffers and say, you know, obviously a big part of the offense early in the year, but obviously they've been okay without him. Could you take a Ryan Jeffers whose contract is expiring at the end of this season, move him, go get some bullpen pitchers instead of dealing prospects necessarily? Could you deal from the major league roster there and say, okay, we're going to part with this guy, but we're going to bring back, we're not bringing back people for the future. We're bringing back people that can help this team right now.
Well, if he's the most tradable asset, then yes. But why, I would argue, why are you bringing players to help you right now when there isn't enough help out there to put you over the hump? It's when the Timberwolves trade for LaMelo Ball, they do that because they have Anthony Edwards in his prime, and this is the time to make a move. I don't know that the Twins are close enough to their best roster, so to speak, to be able to bring back a help now kind of player. So, does that make sense?
It does.
I don't know if it's there.
It's what is the goal then, right? I mean, if you're going to bring guys in, does it have to get you a championship? Or is it enough at this point, given where this team has been? Again, going back to 2023... If you get yourself into the playoffs, right, if you can get yourself into a postseason, given what's happened the last couple of years in between the last time they were in the playoffs, especially given the fact that who knows what kind of season we're going to have or not have next year, is that enough? Is it enough to just say, look, we're trying to push into the playoffs and then you roll a dice and see what happens? Is it going to get you a championship? Probably not.
No, but.
But does it buy you some goodwill with the fans? And I think that'd be worth it for the organization right now.
I don't know if anything can buy goodwill with the fans right now. I mean, I swear every time I see a story on anywhere,
it's
people like saying that, you know, is there anything that's going to be goodwill? I don't know that that'll do it. But truly, if you look at it from a baseball standpoint, if Jeffers is your most tradable asset and you can get something in return that can help you, maybe not this year, but next year or the year after, I say you do it, especially with such minimal trade assets on your roster right now. If you have people calling, there's going to be teams calling. You could make the deal. That's just what you're going to get in return. I don't think people are going to stack the ballpark for what you're going to get in return for Ryan Jeffers.
All right, let's break. Dave Schwartz continues in just a minute here on CCO. Continental Diamond time check is 5:54. ContinentalDiamond.com should be your pre-owned watches headquarters. They got more than 100 of them. Rolex, Omega, just looking through Cartier, IWC, some beautiful watches. Check them out on the website, ContinentalDiamond.com. Dave Schwartz is with us. Dave, you were just on a pretty epic little trip, right?
Yeah, it was fun. I was at a backpacking trip with my son and his Scouting America troop. There were 8 boys, 4 adults, and we backpacked through the mountains in Cimarron, New Mexico. We did 60 miles over 9 days with 40 to 45 pound packs.
Wow.
Somehow I survived.
It's amazing. Was it, I mean, what was the hardest part about it? Was it the physical aspect of it?
Physical and mental. There were a couple days where we were hiking through forests that had been in a forest fire years before, and they called it the burn. So you're hiking uphill 90 degrees, 85, 90 degrees, whatever they say about a dry heat, it's still hot. But it what I remember most, and I'm really grateful I did it, it's the mental aspect of it. Your body, I mean, I'm 47. My body always hurts, especially when I do physical physical activity like that. It's always going to hurt. But it's that little voice in your head that says, you know, you can't do this. You're done. Tap out. And you have no choice but to keep going. So I really enjoyed that challenge. What I really enjoyed was seeing the kids overcome that. Was seeing these 14 to 16-year-old kids thinking, I'm out. I can't do this anymore, including my son, and saying, no, I can do it. And then being able to say to them after, you did this. Now go back to your regular life, and anything that seems hard isn't going to seem that bad because you just did this. And it's incredible. Yeah. It's really, I was very grateful to be a part of that.
Are the Timberwolves going to get LeBron James? Mark wants to know, do you think, do we have, all the reporting has said they're giving it a full shot.
I mean, you,
if you're LeBron.
He wants to win. Obviously, he wants to win another title. I would say there's probably four or five teams with legitimate chances. I think the Timberwolves could be considered in that group. The idea of being able to play with Anthony Edwards and now LaMelo Ball, it's interesting. I think they have as good a chance as some other teams, but not all teams. But you know what? Forever we've said, no way, Minnesota. Yeah. And finally we can say, why not Minnesota?
You know,
why not come here?
If LeBron wants to be the greatest of all time, imagine bringing a world championship to a state that had the last men's world championship in 1991. It'd be pretty great. Then you're the GOAT. Otherwise, you're just like, you're taking the layup as far as I'm concerned, LeBron. Tough it up.
And then he's just so-so then.
Yeah.
He's soft.
He's soft is what he is. He's no Jordan.
And rise to the challenge, LeBron.
Yes.
This is it.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Steve Thompson, straight ahead.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.